Good morning, everybody. Let's get moving. We are pleased, on behalf of the ICANN board, we're pleased to be meeting with the Commercial Stakeholders Group in keeping with our sort of current mode of these interactions. We've asked for your topics, and I think we just want to jump right in. Tony, this is really your meeting.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve. We very much appreciate the time we spend with you. It's always very fruitful. And recognizing that, I'd like to start with a thank you, actually, to the board. We had some discussions, I think, across various meetings that we struggled for time, and we managed to carve out of the GNSO time over the weekend a few hours to meet as a commercial stakeholder group that enabled us to do some real work in terms of preparing for later sessions of the ICANN meeting. And it's something we're very keen to maintain, but I'd like to offer thanks to the board for recognising that and providing the support and the room capabilities that have enabled us to utilise that time. So a big thank you to you for that. Moving into the issues we've raised today, displayed are three items that we particularly want to speak about. We have had some prior discussions on each of these topics during those commercial stakeholder group sessions. And on the first one, GAC advice to GTLDs, we've really broken it down into two separate threads. One is the overall issue of that advice, but there are also some technical aspects as well. And I'd like to call on Ron Andruff to pick up on the first part of that session. Ron.
Thank you very much, Tony, and good afternoon, or I guess it's good morning still to all of us, and thank you for greeting us as you usually do in such good fashion. I really wanted to start off by saying thank you to the board. For anybody who's looking for me, I'm here. Sorry. I wanted to say thank you to the board for giving the community the opportunity to respond to the GAC advice, building this what we hope will be an unimpeachable process for new top-level domains is a very difficult work, as we all know. And the collegial way we're seeing the board working with the GAC and so forth has been excellent. And after the Beijing communique came out, the advice came out, we were given the opportunity to respond to some of the advice, and that was really very helpful. And perhaps the board might consider, when the GAC advice comes out after this meeting in Durban, we're also giving the community a chance to look at the information and respond, because this is the way we can really work through these thorny issues. But notably, the community was only given the chance to comment on the safeguards, and when we would really like to also formulate our opinions and build some consensus within our constituencies with regard to the GAC views on singular and plurals, geographic names, and other such examples. So this is the kind of view. We see this as a positive move and a very helpful move, but it's hard for us to gain consensus around an issue unless we're given the opportunity to actually respond to all of the GAC advice as opposed to just part of it. With that, I would like to maybe turn to Steve Metallitz to take the first kick at the cat. Thank you.
Steve?
Thank you, and I would echo what Ron said. First of all, on the GAC safeguards advice that you sought our comments on, I think that was a very positive step, and I think, at least as far as the basic safeguards are concerned, which are quite important, things are moving on a very good path that the board helped to facilitate by allowing a forum, a medium for community support to be expressed. So that I think that was very helpful. The two issues that Ron flagged are issues on which there are very strong opinions within all of our constituencies, I think, but we haven't really been in a position to come up with a consensus position or certainly on behalf of the stakeholder group, but even on behalf of individual constituencies on some of them. So if there were some public comment forum on those topics, specifically singular and plural, and on the geographic names that were flagged in the GAC Beijing advice. I think, at least from the IPC perspective, I'm sure we would want to give you our views on those and hopefully help guide a good resolution on them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Just partly a question back to you, Steve, and Ron, with that respect. I guess there's two mechanisms that or two extremes of mechanisms that we're using at ICANN. One is the public comment forum, which is essentially mostly individual comments, but in some cases business groups or constituencies might get together and submit a comment. And then we have the sort of heavyweight PDP process that is intended to engage a wide range of people in developing a position. What's your feeling from even a constituency level, how long it would take you to reach a consensus on a topic like this? Is this something you can do between two meetings? Is it something that takes 6 months, something you do in 1 month? Just want to get a sense of what sort of more effective processes there are that we actually get a more of a consensus position rather than individual comments.
I think in this particular case, Bruce, it would not take long for us to reach a position. We've had a lot of discussions about it. And frankly, and we'll be talking later about balancing the ICANN work program. We're really in a triage mode. We're responding as a constituency only on those things where there's been a public comment request, and then even there we're having to throw a lot of things overboard. So I think the reason why we haven't done it is not so much difficulty of reaching consensus. I could be wrong about that, but I do think we would at least be able to make some meaningful statement. It's just that we weren't asked to do it. So I would just encourage you, in light of this unfortunate fact that we just can't go much beyond what we absolutely have to do, because of the resource constraints and the bandwidth constraints, I think it would be useful in this case. I'm not addressing your larger question, but I think on these particular points, it wouldn't take that long.
I think you're going to hear more later about some of the constraints we are under, Bruce, but this really comes down to a matter of priorities, and I think for all these constituencies, this would be pretty high on that list. Marilyn?
My name is Marilyn Cade. I'm not commenting on what has been said to you by other leaders in the constituencies, but I am going to ask you a question in relation to the issue of PDP versus public comment. This is GAC advice, and it was a unique opportunity for us to have, as a community, the opportunity to provide public comments on GAC advice related to GTLD implementation activities. The applicants also had the opportunity to respond in detail to the GAC advice and responsibly took advantage of that. But it is GAC advice. So my question perhaps may also go to the board of, what is the situation in your mind as the board about the tools that exist clearly today about dealing with GAC advice? Because I think some members of the GAC may have other expectations.
If I might, there's sort of two pieces that are open-ended in what you said that it would be helpful to be more pointed, if you would. Asking what our view is of the tools and asking and then suggesting that there's other points of view. I have a feeling that you have something specific on your mind that, and let me just ask you to bring that to the surface and drill down.
Well, Steve, I'm happy to say I think everybody who spends any time working with governments in a variety of settings, not just here but elsewhere, is aware that we have been very fortunate at ICANN that some of the external factors have actually brought some governments here to ICANN that weren't here before. And I think so we have a stronger participation and engagement and a more active and involved advisory board, GAC, that not all of the GAC members expected GAC advice to be put out for public comment.
Yeah, that was certainly new, but I didn't think that was the force of your comment or question.
So the second part, so not all GAC members expected GAC advice to be put out for public comment. Then the second question on the minds of perhaps many of some of the governments and perhaps others is, so if it's GAC advice, there is a bylaw provision which says how the board is going to address it. It doesn't specifically say that one of the options might be to send the GAC advice for a PDP in either the CCNSO. So I was just asking.
Yeah. When I read that part of the bylaws, I didn't see anything that said that there wasn't anything that specifically prohibited us from asking for.
Chris,
Steve. Sorry, this is really, really, really important. We did not put the GAC advice out for public comment. What we specifically did was to ask for comments on how we should address certain aspects of the GAC advice. Now, that might sound like a subtle distinction, and it is a subtle distinction, but it's critically important. We did not put the GAC advice out for public comment. And we talked about this a lot, and we made the decision to restrict the comment to particular areas of the advice and to frame it as how we should address the advice. So not commenting on the advice. Now, what may have resulted from what we did is an entirely different issue. But I cannot stress this enough. We did not put the GAC advice out for public comment. And if I can just have 2 seconds on the singular and plural thing. The GAC advice on single and plural was for us to consider the position. So if we'd asked you for your comment on that, you would have been commenting on whether we should consider it or not, which I know you would have taken the opportunity to comment on whether we should have singles or plurals or not, but that is not actually what the GAC's advice was. And we have considered our position, and we have said what we're going to do. So I just wanted to make that distinction. Because this is so delicate, we have to be so careful that we are not overstepping the line here. So thank you.
Steve?
Yeah, Steve Metallitz. Just, I appreciate the correction, Chris. And if we misspoke, if I misspoke, or Ron, and you're absolutely right. And so what we were suggesting is that other portions, the board could also have asked, and we urged the board to ask us for the public for its views on how it should respond to other aspects of the GAC advice.
Okay, thank you. Ron, and then we need to move on, I think.
Thank you very much. Ron Androff. I also echo that appreciation for that very clear nuance, and I'm glad we had it. So thank you for bringing that to the table. But notwithstanding the distinction about singular and plural that you brought forward, Chris, the last time we spoke about it, I recall that we were all at the Beijing meeting, and in fact, we asked the CEO how he felt about this, and he said, well, this is a bottom-up organization, so bottoms up, let's get after it. This is still something that the community feels very strongly about, and I know that the board has viewed this very carefully and taken a measured decision, but the fact of the matter is that singulars and plurals are not yet put to bed from the community's point of view. That's why we're urging you to maybe give some reconsideration to this idea and allow the community to come together with their thoughts and then make a final determination. So I think that's really what we're asking for here, is to give us an opportunity to actually bring our constituency points of view. Thank you very much.
Jay Scott, I really need to move on, so very brief, please.
I just want to echo that I believe that the community should have the right to comment. And the reason is that in the multi-stakeholder model, it's a system of checks and balances. And without allowing those that will be greatly impacted, both users, applicants, and businesses, to feed to the board their reaction to advice, there's no check or balance on the GAC, and I appreciate the hard work they do and the difficult work they do coming to consensus, but they're not operating in their political spheres where they have answers to that. Those of us here are the members of their countries and constituencies that are doing that check and balance, and I would ask that you allow us that opportunity so that this can function the way it needs to function to be a true multi-stakeholder model. Thank you.
Thank you. Jonathan, can I hand over to you now for the technical aspects?
Sure. Jonathan Zook from the Association for Competitive Technology. The Y2K crisis that we had in the change of centuries that led to news broadcasts, novels being created, movies being produced, boiled down to a practice in the latter half of the 20th century of programmers storing dates in abbreviated format, basically. But there was a huge hoopla associated with it that led to a lot of mitigation of the risks associated with the date change. I would suggest that the issues related to internal certificates, namespace collisions, and dotless domains fall into that same category of running the risk of really overthrowing a lot of what have been the practice in the last decade inside of enterprises, small businesses around the world, most of whom I believe are not even conscious that this process is going on. And I think that we're in for a disaster in terms of just functioning intranets and extranets inside of businesses, and I'm very concerned that it's a situation that it's like a hat that's getting passed around between the board and the ESSAC and the GAC and the business community. And I can say that there's one issue on which the CSG has real consensus, is that we need to be taking this issue of namespace collisions, internal certificate errors, more seriously. And it's not just the sort of esoteric technical things like man-in-the-middle attacks, but just simply the systems breaking down that have existed inside of corporations for many, many years that have to do with reaching out to HR, 401k plans, et cetera. And those things are going to bubble up and lead to a huge outcry that I think will be a real black eye on the new GTLD program, and that it's worth taking this problem more seriously, deferring delegation of some key strings that are most popular in that regard until more education can be done and more work is put into the mitigation of the risks that I think are very real, and that there seems to be consensus among the business community that those issues are quite real.
Let me offer an observation about this particular issue. It is simply not the case that it's not being taken seriously, or to remove the double negatives. It is being taken very seriously. What's apparent to me from your comments, and I know that you're not alone, so I don't, it's not just what you're saying, but it's echoed across a number of conversations, both public and private, is it's not apparent that it's being taken seriously. There's not a sense of confidence about the process that's involved. There are indeed quite a few parties that are involved. We have advice from your group, from the IAB, from ESSAC, and letters coming in across the spectrum and so forth. So there are quite a few parties engaged, and the decision process, which will rest partly with staff and ultimately with the new GTLD program committee that Shireen runs, is charged with assembling all this and coming to a reasoned and careful decision about it all. I have my own personal strong feelings about it, so I don't want to get into the substance of it. But I am conscious of how much energy is being spent to reach a decision, and that the allocation of energy, sort of in the aggregate, may be taking away from other things which are stacked up right behind it. So I can agree with you that the sooner we reach a decision, the better. It will free up a lot of attention. But I can absolutely assure you that there's no question that it's being taken very seriously, that it's not a question of just passing it around and saying, oh, not my problem. You understand the syndrome that you're alluding to. But it's not the case. To repeat my first point, but it is apparent that it is not apparent that it's under control. And I'm not sure I know how best to address that, but except to say quite directly that it's getting a lot of attention and it's getting it in an orderly way that is not just circular and going hither and yon.
Thomas, did you want to add something?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, Steve said most of what I wanted to say, and it's basically is that
this is, issue is being taken seriously by the board and so forth. But one other observation I would make is a lot of times when these issues come up and there's a feel like, well, why isn't the board doing something? You know, remember, the board isn't really supposed to be doing stuff at some level. It, you know, from a board decision perspective, we are supposed to be at the end of the process kind of ratifying what the community has signed off on. And that happens sort of after everybody already understands what the outcome is going to be, because a bunch of work has been done, you know, the community's been consulted, and so on. And that's kind of the phase we're in right now. There's a lot of stuff going on internally this week. You know, ESSAC is working on stuff. There's another report that I thought was going to be out before Durban that was called for to be out before Durban. It's not out yet. So we have to wait till that comes out, and there'll be further discussions, and then at some point there'll be a recommendation, and hopefully it'll all come together at that point. But that don't take the lack of that having happened already as it's not being taken seriously.
Thanks. Mikey?
This is Mikey O'Connor. Steve, your comments are very comforting to me, and I really appreciate those. So I'm going to skip to a kind of higher plane and ask a question that I just asked in our constituency meeting. I did it in such a cool way, I'm not going to do it the same way here. I'm going to save it for the public comments, I think. But the question is, it seems like there's a pipe that's broken between the ESSAC and action. You know, the ESSAC wrote a bunch of these reports quite a while ago. I think SAC 45 was like 2010. And I'm not... It may be that I just don't understand the process, but it seems like they wrote that report and then it kind of didn't go anywhere. And had it gone somewhere sooner, we might not be in quite this kerfuffle right now. Did something fall between the cracks, or should there be a better connection between the ESSAC and the GNSO if there's a policy thing that needs to happen? Any sense of work to be done there?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. I don't want to comment or even necessarily agree on a specific there, but there is a general point that I'm actually keenly aware of and have already commented on today. Advice that comes, whether it comes from ESSAC or whether it comes from this group or another group, needs to be tracked and disposed of. I don't mean disposed in the negative there, but it has to be processed. We don't have that mechanism properly in place, and we don't have it properly staffed and working yet. And I said earlier today in another setting, I'm committed to making a qualitative change in that so that not only is it working, but to sort of counterpoint to what we just talked about, make it apparent that it's working so that the tracking is visible and so forth, and to have that in place by Buenos Aires.
Thank you, Steve. I'm going to move on because of time. I think our point's been heard by the board, and I think the response is good. Okay, quickly.
Hi, Jeff Bergman with AT&T. A brief comment just to build on this point is I think it's broader than just the specific issues we were referencing. The security review team that I served on highlighted the new domain name program as an area that really needed to have close consideration of the security and stability implications across the board. And I referenced the ESSAC Report 59, which I think gets at some of these, what they called interdisciplinary studies. And that's another broader area where I think having some visible tracking of what's being done to implement these issues will be a way to provide some assurance and also more community engagement on these issues. We want to be involved and we want to help make sure they're being addressed, but there needs to be some clear process for us to do that. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Joe. I'd like to move on the agenda. We've only got an hour with the board. We need to maximise the use of our time. Move on to the next topic, which is the operational plan and budget. Marilyn.
Thank you. What I'd like to do is give a quick overview, and then other participants from the constituency may have follow-up comments. First of all, the ICANN budget and operating plan has long been a priority area of work for these constituencies. We even have our own small working group which cuts across all three of the constituencies that tries to analyze and focus on the budget broadly and on the operating plan. And members of these three constituencies are actively engaged in the work that Xavier and the team are doing, including we'll all be present at the two meetings, the one scheduled tomorrow, the finance open session. We'll have people there. And, of course, the finance budget improvement working group. This year has been a very this budget has been an incredibly impenetrable process, very challenging to us. We've had great difficulty in being able to provide comments, and instead we were forced to resort to extensive numbers of questions. We really understand that we are in the process of changing systems and approach. We understand that, but we need to ask the management and the board to support the provision of perhaps some interim approaches to resolve the burdensome approach that the burdens on the community of trying to be able to provide meaningful input. We're aware we're not the only ones suffering from this because our budget working group participants keep in touch with the CCNSO and others. The practical challenge as well in terms of its impact on us is that in order for us to build and support and strengthen our own capabilities to serve in our role as constituencies, we ask ICANN this past budget, and we ask ICANN again, for a small amount of funding to come to the constituencies for us to do specific things. Last year, we did have some approval of a relatively, I think it was around roughly on average $50,000 per constituency. The process this year, the situation we're in, means we have no visibility or understanding of whether we will have the kind of support we ask for. We support the idea that ICANN is strengthening internal centralized communication resources, but that does not replace our role and the fact that we must strengthen our own performance in order to be able to serve effectively. So we have expected ICANN to make a small investment in us to help to contribute to the work that the stakeholders do. I guess the other issue that's of concern to us right now is because of the change in the budgeting process, there are huge buckets of money that are assigned with categories. There's no visibility of the plans that are going to fulfill that work. It's very possible, and we've seen examples where services or products are being rolled out. They're not fit for our purpose. They may be wonderful, but we need and ask how we can strengthen the interaction between us and the folks at the level, so in global engagement and elsewhere. So before they roll out a full program that's going to be lots of millions of dollars, we really want to make sure that we're engaged in commenting on what will work effectively, not just in all the new work, but also the work we're doing. We have an executive committee at the CSG level, and we would welcome the opportunity to figure out how to be more engaged before final plans are made, as well as making sure we get an answer to the funding request we've made.
Bruce?
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn. I mean, this sort of reminds me of a common problem, you know, any company has in communicating messages. You know, there's often messages that refer to you know, what the organisation does as a whole, and then messages that are much more sort of topic specific, let's say. What would probably be useful would be to get really clear requirements. So I think there's two parts of this. One part is that the communication that we're using more generally, we should, as much as possible, see that it meets some of the needs of your stakeholders. And so let's call it the group budget, so to speak. It would be great if you could actually, in your communities, develop some really clear requirements as to what that communication, the group communication needs to do. And then secondly, what you're really asking for is a budget in your specific topic area to allow you to do much more targeted communications for your needs. I think from a governance point of view, again, the staff probably needs a really clear, this is what the budget's for, this is how we're going to communicate, and here's the messages. And certainly ensuring that there's no conflicts. So you wouldn't want a group message saying, you know, ICANN's, I don't know, going to have an Africa strategy, and then a subgroup communication saying, you know, we're not going to have one or something. So I think we need to make sure the group is consistent with the constituents in terms of the general messages.
It's just in response, I'm going to use the example you gave as an example of what we would really want to contribute to. Development of regional strategies also needs to incorporate participation from these three communities, and we're working on that. But I think it's also incumbent on all of us, since we have so many new tools being proposed and resources and so many new people, to make sure that we have a very strengthened feedback loop in the initial stages.
There's an awful lot of goodwill from these constituencies on these issues, Bruce, and I think one of the things we're all struggling with is how we relate to things like the global engagement plans and our fit. There's a lack of, let's say, knowledge on our part as to how we actually achieve that. And that's one of the things that needs to be fixed.
Let me ask Fadi to weigh in on this. I was looking for him before Bruce spoke, and I missed him, and he's hiding
okay.
back there.
Yeah, I can just very quickly clarify some things. This is the first year we provide a budget that is mapping to our work programs. This never happened before. We published 150 portfolio programs and divided the budget down to the dollar, down to these, and published it on our website. Nobody's ever seen that detail from ICANN. So I'm not sure what we're talking about here. Are we now wanting to set some level of budgeting that goes down to under $1,000? I will try, but I don't think that's the best way to spend our time. We have defined, from the first day I started, four objectives, 16 goals, 150 portfolios and projects under them. We publish them. They're live on our website, and they change the first of every month. And starting next month, they will change in real time as staff changes them. Then we built a budget that is tied to these. You can now go and see by portfolio where the money is being spent. And I haven't heard one comment that says, I went to program number 143, and I think you're spending too much on it or too little on it. No one has come to me. I saw some of the comments that came on the website. The Finance Committee is reviewing these actively, and we adjusted the budget accordingly. We republished it now for everybody to see tomorrow. Can we do more? Yes. Can we go deeper? Yes. And we will. But again, it has to be done within reason. The second thing that Marilyn brought up that actually I really would react to as well strongly. Look, there is a difference between staff drawing the picture and staff providing a canvas so you can draw a picture. We have had no canvas. Let me give you an example. Everybody wants an education platform at ICANN to educate their constituencies. We've been talking about it for about 10 years. In the last 6 months, we have produced a plan. We acted on it, and within 30 days, ICANN, for the first time ever, will actually have a platform for digital online education. Now, there's nothing on the platform. It's a canvas. Every constituency can take it, create its own curricula, create its own content, and it's free, and it's available for everybody. We even made it available to ISOC and our sister organizations. Anyone can use it. Same with communications, social media. We're creating the platforms. We are creating the mechanisms. ICANN Labs, the first environment on the planet for a multi-stakeholder environment to design software for engagement together. The companies we hired to help us with this told us we're nuts. We cannot get multi-stakeholders to define an engagement software and an engagement platform. We told them that's the ICANN way. So we worked with them until ICANN Labs was completed. What is ICANN Labs? A canvas. Come, help us. Let's draw pictures on it. What software do we need? How do we fix the public comment process? It's an environment where software developers will be sitting there watching your comments and building software live that you can prototype and tell them it doesn't work for me. We'll change it live. This is a challenge for us. It's much easier for me to design that software and get it out there. We're not. We're doing it with you. So think of these things. I know we're moving fast, but we're moving fast with canvases, not with pictures.
Thank you, Fadi. I saw Mikey and Steve wish to respond.
This is Mikey O'Connor. I think that, you know, this is a tough week. We've got everybody's under a lot of pressure on a lot of stuff, so I want to sort of back us up just a little bit. One of the things that's clear is that this is a brand new process. It's a radically improved process, in my view. But as with any implementation, we've got some rough edges, and we're under an awful lot of time pressure. So here are some thoughts. Next time through this cycle, there will be more time. And I think that time is very helpful. I think part of what we are reacting to here in the constituencies is that a lot of stuff hit us as a surprise. And by having more time, starting this conversation much earlier in the process, maybe around Argentina, maybe even sooner, we aren't feeling like things are crammed down our throat, and you guys aren't feeling like you're under the kind of time pressure to deliver that you are. So I think some time will help. And I think that what you're hearing from the constituency is that we would really like to help you. We would love to participate in the front ends of these things. And so let me go to sort of the program side. I think what you're hearing from Marilyn and others is that rather than Sally and the other major program folks delivering right away and then letting us react, get our fingerprints on this earlier in the process so that we buy in and can support it, which then gets us to the budget process. One of the things that's puzzling about this particular budget is that, you know, there's global outreach, and global outreach, you know, I'll just pick on that one because that's the one that came up. I mean, there's a bunch of other big things. But let's just stay on that one. We would like to help with that because eventually the destination that that global outreach delivers new people is hopefully to us. And again, I think more time and more conversation before launch will help with that. But without that connection, you then surprise folks. So when, you know, ICANN for Biz shows up and the first time the business constituency hears about it is launch day, generates, putting it mildly, some sparks because there are some things wrong with that. So more time, next time through the implementation, more conversation up front. And I think that backs us out of this garage.
Okay, Steve, if you wanted to say a brief word. I see there's some board members also want to respond. So.
It's actually a good transition to this next, this final item. First, just 2 points. First, I think, as others have said, I think to some extent this is a transition problem, and hopefully next fiscal year, ICANN staff will have a better way of dealing with the new budget tools, and we'll have a better way of understanding the tools that are being used. But I think, in response to some of the points Fadi made, There's a lot of exciting things going on, and I'm glad that ICANN is growing and its budget is up 24% and its headcount is up 50%. You're opening offices in every corner of the world, and all of this is great. That this is generating a lot of material, that is a lot of options and a lot of tools that are being showered upon us. This isn't drinking from the fire hose. We're being sprayed by the fire hose, and it's painful sometimes. Our budgets aren't going up 24%. We don't have 50% more people working for us. And I know you'll say that we do because they're ICANN, and ICANN is the community, and it works for us. That is not how it looks from our perspective. From our constituency, which has zero people assigned to assist us and provide a secretariat for us, it's just extremely difficult for us to even keep up with this and make use of all of the great new things that are coming down the line. So I think the point, going back to Marilyn's original point, we simply are not getting the kind of support that we need. We know there's a division now that's partnering with the contracted parties, but for the non-contracted parties, I think we have a very serious problem of being able to make use and to help contribute intelligently to all of the exciting new things that are going on. Thank you.
Thank you. I saw Shireen and Erica wanted to respond. Thank you.
I just want to make comments on a few points. We hear you, right? So this is number one. We were hoping this year I'm going to touch on more time. Definitely more time is needed. This year we were hoping to improve on it, but I think the new tools, the recasting of the budget, as Fadi said, have done an excellent job, took a lot of time, and therefore it took away time from you guys to read, address, comment, and be engaged in it. So we acknowledge that, and I'm sure next year it should be better. Definitely we'll make sure it is better. On the funding, and we tried to address the SONAC request funding by breaking the funding into two pots, one which is a fast track, because we knew the budget may not be approved by the end of the fiscal year. So we said, what needs to be done in the first 4 months of the first financial year? Let's approve those, and we did those. Unfortunately, we did not approve other things that you also need. So you have issues but I have other requests that I don't know what's happening to them. I want to get my business going, and I don't know what the outcome of that. So I think one improvement that we will do next year, and I was discussing with finance, is probably we ought to get the SOs and ACs requests fully approved way ahead of in the earlier cycle, rather than part of it and bit of it. So that would be an improvement. For this year, the information that you don't have, this hasn't yet been approved by the board, but I think what we could do is give you the information in the next few days, right, and give you some opportunity to comment, because the plan is for us to present it to the board at the board meeting in August. So we have, you know, a couple of weeks for you to comment on those and come back to us if you wish, okay? So, but next year, hopefully, we'll try and get the entire SONAC request earlier on in the process rather than divided. I also notice you are saying, if I don't get my request and I don't know what's happening to it, but I see a bigger budget around stakeholder engagement, etc., it's... So we understand, right? But I think if you got your budget and you got involved in more time, that question will not come up, correct? You mentioned the 23% growth in operation. We've heard from several constituencies there is a concern that, oh, my God, ICANN's revenue is going up, so they're jacking up the cost at the same time. That is not the case. That is not the case. And in fact, Fadi and his team have embarked now on a strategic plan and a 3-year operating plan. We don't have to grow our cost base just because the revenue base grows. We have to have much greater financial discipline and much more strategic intent in what we're doing. Okay? This year they grew up because of three reasons mainly. One is the need to internationalize. So we're going about opening hubs The second one is we have a new division. That costs money. We need to increase the people to deal with the new GTLD, because if we don't operate with excellence there and deliver, you know, all of us are in trouble. And then there is the stakeholder engagement one that you keep on saying we don't know what it is, but that is costing money, and there's a $5 million budget there or whatever, which you didn't have time to look into. So those are the reason for this year's 23% growth. Does this mean next year we'll have another 23 and another 23? No, because probably for the first time we're going to have a proper 3-year operating plan that we all buy into. And therefore, we will produce a financial plan to support that if we all buy into as well. And therefore, we won't have this issue year after year after year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, particularly for the helpful suggestions to move forward from here. That's really appreciated. Erica, did you wish to follow up for that? We've got one other additional topic.
Sure. I'm brief. I think, Mickey, I would love to come back to a point Mickey raised. And this is about timing. I think we have to be extremely careful with each other because it's an organization which has to move now fast. Because if the organizational structure is not actually in compliance with the new programs we roll out, then we all will face difficulties in the near future. And your experience from the business community is in particular relevant and important, and we do understand this completely and fully, but timing is really crucial. So I think if we could, in the future, I'm sure after this debate and discussion, we will be aware that we will have to have this discussion much earlier. One little point back to what Fadi said on all the tools which are rolled out. They are actually platforms. They are empty. They're templates to be used. They're not filled. There's nothing taking away from what you want to do or what you want us to do together. So I don't think so. It is the impression that these are filled in the moment by staffers with something you don't want. It's correct. So I think you should review this as well and work with us and let us work together on this, filling the templates in the right way.
Thank you. That's been a helpful discussion. Christina, if I could turn over to you for the last point on our agenda.
Sure. Just very briefly, and I think it's been alluded to in the context of several other comments that have been made, but quite candidly, within the CSG, all three constituencies we're struggling. We're struggling to keep up with the work. We're struggling to simultaneously do effective outreach so that we can bring in more people who can help us do the work. The fact that I am, you know, the officers and other volunteers in the IPC, for example, are the people who are doing edits and proofreading comments, make us very expensive secretariats who quite candidly could probably be used on more substantive issues. We are doing triage. I think just to give you an example from the IPC, we had to admit to the ATRT2 that we had not provided any feedback to them because we simply didn't have the capacity on an issue that and on a review team that we think is very important. Having said all that, I do think, and we have discussed some potential suggestions that we think might be helpful, and we realize that there will be limits to the amount of work that can be pulled back. But we do think that there are ways that ICANN could perhaps help us more accurately predict what's coming down the pike, whether it's with forecasting, building into the working group charters, timelines when documents will be put out for public comment. If there are other reports, if the SSAC, for example, knows that they expect to have a report out in September for public comment, tell us early. And if you miss it by a month or 6 weeks, that's okay. But at least we know it's coming and we can start lining people up to comment on it. Similarly, with regard to documents that are put out for public comment, having a very clear, very concise explanation of what the issue is and why it's important to someone who perhaps might be participating in public comment for the first time, because from our stakeholder group, that's how people first get involved, is through the public comment period. And if it's not easy for them to do, and if it's not easy for them to have an understanding of what happens to their comments, they become disincentivized. So, you know, there are other suggestions that we've talked about within our stakeholder group, and we're happy to forward them on. But we really are reaching a critical problem where very important issues are not being commented on, and this, unfortunately, is an environment where silence is deemed to be acquiescence.
Thank you. One of the things that would greatly help us would be an indication, a plan going forward, so that the comments are put out in a way that we can manage them in a much better way, rather than have them just put out when the documents are ready and we end up with a large bulk of things to do all at once. Steve, I don't know whether you want to come back on that.
Christina, you hit a couple of points that I think at least personally caught my attention. Rolling back to the time when I was chair of ESSAC, the idea that other people would be actually waiting and want to know when we would publish documents so they could allocate resources is a very exciting, positive thing. We never, I don't know, we had it in our minds that maybe the current ESSAC folks do, that there would be people actually waiting and interested in what we'd have to say and planning to put the resources in. Boy, I like that a lot. And then your comment, which you just inserted as you were going, but I think actually is worth a sort of full stop, is the public comment process is the way that people get engaged, is the entryway into the ICANN process, I think is a very telling comment and worth some consideration as we think about how the process has worked. The tracking and the response, absolutely important, been said many times, we need to improve on all that. But I just wanted to reply that your observation that is the entry mechanism. And so if it's going to be successful, of course, it needs to work right for those people. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Sorry. Fadi, please.
Redesigning the public comment process, building timelines of what's coming, is precisely what ICANN Labs is proposing to redesign. So if you have ideas on how to do this better, if you want to contribute to the design of software that will enable much better management and response to public comments, it is all being done in ICANN Labs. This is the place to find it. ICANN, please go there. It's labs.icann.org. Participate. It started. The actual reference points in the ICANN Labs canvas will start August 1st. But please sign up and at least get ready, because we will use it as a mechanism to redesign. Because let me be candid. The current public comment process is a 1980s model. It is not working. It does not scale. It is difficult to know what happened to your public comment. It's immensely frustrating to put a comment and never find out where it went. We're there. We're redesigning all of that. We have the teams ready, the processes are ready, and the canvas is ICANN Labs. Please participate.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. And I believe we're out of time now, but I very much appreciate the ability to have this conversation with you. And we look forward to carrying this on in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, everybody. Very helpful set of comments. Thank you.